Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
A hip-hop artist, even, Kanye West. He's no stranger to controversy. He's previously voiced his support for ex-President Donald Trump. He's referred to the slavery of African-Americans as a choice. But still, there were eyebrows raised when his new album, Donda, was released a couple of weeks ago. It features appearances by two well-known musicians, DaBaby and Marilyn Manson, who are both facing very serious allegations as we speak. This isn't the first time that Kanye has doused himself in controversy in the run-up to an album. So, you know, does it work? Does it ever go too far? I mean, is it a Conor McGregor thing? You know, do something absolutely outrageous and suddenly 8 million more people suddenly decide to want to watch the fight and pay loads of money? I don't know. Journalist Brian Boyd is with us now to discuss controversial moments in music that worked as promotion for the artists and some, of course, which did not. Now, I forgot to ask, where's Brian? Is he on one? Is he? Hello, Brian. How you doing?
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Oh, man, he is on one. Okay, now, Brian, what has Kanye been up to this time, for God's sake?
He started off in early July saying there was a new album coming out called Donda. The name of the album is very, very particular to him. He told me a few years back when I talked to him, Donda was his late mother. When Kanye became famous 15, 20 years ago, he gave her a present of to go and get plastic surgery done, expensive plastic surgery. She died during the plastic surgery. He's been haunted by his mother's legacy ever since. So this album is always going to be a crucial album for him. He announced it at the beginning of July. Now, it's in a stroke of marketing genius. He didn't actually release it. What he did was, over the summer, you probably heard about that, he had three listening parties in stadiums in the US. Huge events where 50,000 people would pay $100 to attend to basically hear a sort of a rough mix or a workshop of the album. The interesting thing about this is at one of the at the second listening party, this is like 8 weeks before the album actually came out that anyone could hear it, he broke the long-standing record Taylor Smith has had for the highest grossing concert ever in the US, which is $7 million. Now, Kanye got that $7 million through merchandise sales alone on a listening party night. So there was these three listening parties. The album kept getting delayed. His streams on Spotify and iTunes, whatever, Apple Music, went up 88%. He made gazillions of dollars from the hype surrounding it. And it was, as you said, it was controversial because it features Marilyn Manson and DaBaby, who are both facing very serious allegations.
I mean, hold on a second. I did know about these listening things, but I never saw the details. You're telling me 50,000 people paid up to about $100 each to sit in
Not just that, Dave. He broke the all-time Apple record for live streaming, which is 7.2 million people tuned in to watch. So the whole point of this, of delaying the album and having these high-profile listening parties, Kim Kardashian was there, a whole host of VIPs were there. People were saying he didn't actually have to release the album, Donda. He still broke all these records. He made 7 million from one listening party alone, more than the Rolling Stones, U2 could make off one. That's one single gig, which wasn't even a gig. So this is why Harvard University will have a module sometime soon about how to market an album in the contemporary music world, and they'll use Kanye West's Donda as their prime example. It's incredible.
Can I just ask a question, because I haven't heard the album? Is it any good?
Brilliant.
Right, okay.
Brilliant. He's one of those, he's simply one of those artists who will surprise you, who will confound you, who will confuse you, irritate you. The man's a genius, a tortured, troubled genius at that. And just going back to this, so he's broken all these. Now, when Donda was eventually released 2 weeks ago, it went to number one all around the world within 1 hour. And it broke all these records. And it's not just with Kanye. See, his merchandising is not, here's a $25 tour T-shirt. His merchandising, here's my puffer jacket, which sells for $500.
Okay, well,
7 million on merchandising. Now, Dave, not just this. Now, this was never enough for Kanye. He also has brought out his own record player. And this is called the Donda Stem Machine. And this is a very, very, very new and very, very imaginative of them. So what you can do when you buy it, now it's $200 to buy this, and when you buy it, you get all the with the Donda album, you can isolate the vocals, the bass, the percussion, and you can mix it to your own liking. So this is going way, way beyond what any we've heard before of innovations in music, of marketing campaigns, of how artists now are coping with the download stream world. But this is going way over and above that.
Well, we were talking earlier on just about remixing albums, so now everybody can do it. You can do it in your own home. So listen, hold on a second. Let's just take a look at a few bits and pieces here of all of this. You say the album is good. Surely it should have been a problematic... Let me put it this way. Like last week we were talking about the fact that, you know, a very good move in rock music is death, because then, you know, your sales go way up, etc. So is it a very good move here to be this controversial? And actually, it can be a very good thing for the artists themselves. Because, like, not just with DaBaby and Marilyn Manson, but the whole thing, like, it's not problematic at all. It's a, if the word problematic is there, it's a good thing.
Weirdly, yes. And this shows up the difference between the music industry and, say, the film industry or the TV industry and other branches of the entertainment industry. This is Kanye coming back after supporting his very vocal support of ex-President Donald Trump, probably the in the music industry circles, the most hated figure ever. He's also, and he also came back from those really controversial comments where he referred to the slavery of African Americans as their own choice. It's kind of hard to pedal back from saying something as outrageously ignorant as that. Now, not just that, so obviously the music industry has forgiven him the Donald Trump and the slavery remarks, but apparently he deliberately... Now, Marilyn Manson has no organic connection with Kanye West at all, but apparently Marilyn Manson is, as we speak, he's facing 4 sexual abuse lawsuits, and he has been accused of more than 15... by more than 15 women of serious sexual assaults. Apparently, Kanye wanted noise around this album. You have to have noise these days because Drake is dropping an album, Jay-Z is doing this, whatever. You have to have media noise. He asked Marilyn Manson to feature on the album simply because of the controversy around him.
Right.
The reason why, now DaBaby, who would have an organic connection with Kanye West because he's a rapper, He issued a string of really vile homophobic insults at a concert back in July. Since then, he's had a series of endorsement deals cancelled. His future gigs have been cancelled. People are in the music industry and we're not working with this guy anymore. So he was trouble from word go. Now, not only are they on the album, but they appeared at the listening parties also. So there was all this sort of chatter on social media about Kanye West has been gone beyond cancellation now. Put it this way, if Nicole Kidman said she was making a film with Kevin Spacey in the morning, you can imagine the backlash. Mm. Now, what Marilyn Manson and DaBaby have been accused of in court is, and you can't quantify these things, obviously, but it's far worse than anything Kevin Spacey was ever accused of.
But I'm right then about that. But hold on, the Conor McGregor thing, like you pick up a baggage cart and you fling it at a bus and break the window, because you know, you throw a thing at the Met Gala last week, and it kind of works, doesn't it? I mean, the more outrageous...
It doesn't work in the as you know yourself what the Me Too movement did to the film industry and the TV industry. Yeah. There are actors out there who did really bad things who will never work again, who had their careers finished. It just seems to me that the music industry is far more resilient. Kanye West, you could pick one of 5 reasons to have him cancelled for eternity. Yeah. In any other industry. But in this situation, when it comes to music and the brilliance of his music, it seems that the music industry is much more resilient. There never has been, it's always struck me as strange, Dave, that there never has been a Me Too movement in the music industry.
Well, then, let's
and God knows, God knows there are rich pickings there. But also, and just on the similar thing, you're talking about Conor McGregor and, you know, Bad Boys controversy. Earlier this month, not just Kanye, but the Canadian rapper Drake released Certified Lover Boy, which immediately went to number one in the album charts all around the world. And that's a great album, and Drake's a great artist. But he has given a songwriting credit on Certified Lover Boy to R. Kelly. R. Kelly is currently standing trial on really, really serious sex trafficking charges.
Yeah.
But, and there was a lot of people saying, oh, should we boycott Drake? Should we boycott the album? The album went to number one everywhere around the world.
But I mean, like,
now, it just shows the music industry is so much more resilient than the film industry.
Yeah, but hold on. But
in
the whole rap world and the whole hip-hop world and all the rest, we've known about public disputes. There have always been an element of the whole thing, and sometimes with very fatal consequences, and we all know about East and West Coast and all the rest. So Drake, you just mentioned there was a rivalry in the press between him and Kanye because they were releasing albums around the same time. So did one have to more outrage the other?
No, that was like the Blur and Oasis of the hip hop world, and it was just the two of them looking at each other over the summer, saying, "What's your release date? What's your?" And it was Kanye just turned the volume up to 11, and said to Drake, "Whatever you do, I've already done better by pre-release." And to go back to my point, Donda didn't need to come out to set all these records and to make all this money. And just on your point that this is somehow specific to rap hip hop, The white music world is full of this. I mean, we're talking about, you know, we had a song, Gary Puckett's Young Girl was a number one hit, where he was talking about, like, a man distressed to find out his lover's underage. You had the Rolling Stones singing, "I don't care that you're 15 years old. I don't want to see no ID" in one of their songs. The Beatles, their first line, practically on live TV, was, "She was just 17, you know what I mean," with John Lennon winking to the camera. Bill Wyman, the Rolling Stones' former bass player, began seeing his future and now divorced wife when she was 14 and he was nearly 50. And there's the stories swirling around artists such as Led Zeppelin, David Bowie, of which you're aware of, which we can't repeat. But this is nothing to do with hip-hop rap. This is to do with the music industry. The music industry lives on the edge. It has this bad boy image for which you're almost, labels are also almost telling people to toughen up, to be to say something controversial, to be a bit rough around the edges.
Yeah, but sure. But I mean, having said that, I mean, Kanye West deliberately going for Marilyn Manson because of what's come out in the last 12 months or so is a different step altogether. Go on.
I think that sort of thing is Kanye West seeing where the boundaries lie and whether those boundaries apply to him. And what we have seen with the commercial success of Donda, not just Donda, but of Kanye West's new record player and his merchandising and the streams of his back catalogue, we've seen that the boundaries do not apply to Kanye West.
What about the likes of Madonna and Sinead O'Connor, who took on the Catholic Church? I mean, scandal sells, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the Madonna, which was the Pepsi ad where she sang Like a Prayer. And there was, she reportedly caused grave offence to the Catholic Church by the imagery used in that Pepsi Cola ad. Now, that actual, you could actually sit down and write that and say, this is how we're going to make this front page news. We're going to have Madonna using very sexualized image of Catholic Church icons, of Christian icons. The day after the Pepsi ad came out, it was front page news all over the world. The then Pope, John Paul II, issued a statement which went to newsrooms all around the world, calling for a boycott of all of Madonna's music and live performances. That was Pope John Paul II actually starting cancel culture back in 1989. And also, so that worked spectacularly. And you have to be cynical and sort of say, well, are they doing it on purpose? Of course they're doing it on purpose. The Sinead O'Connor case, she ripped up a picture of the Pope on the US TV programme Saturday Night Live in 1992. That action alone, whatever Sinead's motives were at the time, and however strongly she felt about it, and it was a sincere gesture on her part, she went from being a very well-known singer to famous, very, very famous, superstardom famous overnight. So this, the bad boy, bad girl trope is encoded.
She didn't do it for that reason. She did it because she felt absolutely it should be done, and she was proved
exactly.
Right 10 years later, 100%.
But we're talking about the impact that had on her profile.
Yeah. By the way,
and
the
that
text
impact
in it,
was huge.
I think she was probably delighted with the impact afterwards, and that she never wanted to be famous. I mean, afterwards, that is. Text in here saying Ryan Adams was cancelled due to allegations of sexual misconduct. The cancel culture thing, Chrissy Teigen and all these kind of people. Like, I mean, it really is. It really is pretty heavy stuff, isn't it?
It is, and it's very. We shouldn't really be talking about individual cases because a lot of them are sub judice, and we shouldn't really be talking about them on radio. The Ryan Adams case, a number of people came forward. I'm not sure how that has played out, but Ryan Adams is in a different category to Kanye West or to Drake or to any other person in that. Would he be that sorely missed? He's very much a genre musician.
Of course you can talk about Ryan Adams, because I'm saying he was cancelled due to allegations of sexual misconduct. That's 100% true.
True. Yeah. But I'm just saying that it's always problematic to say what the allegations were and who said what, because there probably are lawyers still involved and there probably is a case still unfolding. Well, it's just never helpful to
Taylor
add in
Swift. Tell me about Taylor Swift.
Well, Taylor Swift hasn't really done anything that controversial.
Did you see the documentary on Taylor Swift?
I didn't. Was it good?
Yeah, that was very good. And she really, the way she goes about this whole thing about should I or should I not give opinions on political matters in the States, she does. And yeah, of course, she gets cancelled by certain parts of the population that I think she could do without anyway. But anyway,
it's actually a very interesting thing. You remember Bruce Springsteen released that song where he specifically, I think it was called 59 Bullets, he specifically addressed police brutality against unarmed black people in the United States. Half the Bruce Springsteen fan base went, fantastic, Bruce, you're highlighting a really important social issue. The other half said, Bruce, I'm bringing your records out to my back garden and burning them. Stop talking about politics, play your rock and roll music and stop talking about things you don't know anything about.
Well, 70% of everything that Bruce Springsteen has ever done has political undertones, and he's really got an opinion. It's perfect.
Yeah, but the point is that there are people who would, Taylor Swift will say, shut up talking about politics, just sing your songs.
Oh, yeah, that's the Dixie Chicks kind of.
That happened also. But I just think the whole point with Kanye West is that he has shown there are no boundaries, and he's shown that the music industry, that basically there's it pays for musicians to walk on the wild side.
They're getting away with it, is what you're saying.
Now, there is a limit here where obviously, I mean, you look at Phil Spector, who was convicted of murder, and you look at Gary Glitter, who was convicted of child pornography charges. They demonstrate that there is a limit to how it will go. But certainly it does help if you say something controversial. There was the Mumford & Sons, they had to sack the guy because
I don't think they had to sack him. I think he decided to leave, did he not?
Well, I read between the lines. I think Mumford & Sons says we can't really have you around. So the bass player in Mumford & Sons had seemingly endorsed a book by a prominent alt-right figure in the United States. But this is the whole point. It does cut both ways.
Pay. It definitely does. Certainly, in the case of the first person we're talking about here, Kanye West, it does pay very much to walk a bit on the wild side as a musician. So surely there are artists though who can't come back from choices and actions that they've made within them. And we're talking here possibly about the Ryan Adams types or whatever.
Yeah, but you also, but again, to go back, it depends what Ryan Adams says, what statement he issues.
Obviously, Phil Spector and Gary Glitter are the biggest examples there. Yeah.
They are, yeah. But if you look back at the Michael Jackson case, which is fascinating, and when he appeared in court in the US in 1983, he was accused of sexually abusing a 13-year-old boy, Jordy Chandler.
Yeah.
Like, these were actual court, this was in court, this wasn't just tabloid insinuation or gossip, this was, he faced the court case. As Michael Jackson was walking into the courtroom each day, thousands of fans were outside with banners supporting him. A lot of the people were holding up their children, who were invariably young, blonde and male, and shouting, please take him, Michael, please take him. Mm. And for the duration of that trial, which was a middle-aged man standing in court being accused of sexual abuse in a 13-year-old boy. It's very, very serious. But for the duration of that trial, which, by the way, ended in an out-of-court settlement, so we'll never know what happened there, all of Jackson's albums re-entered the charts on the back of the publicity of the trial. So Bad went back into the top 10, Thriller went back into the top 10. So it's really difficult to have any sort of, the moral compass keeps swaying around and moving to different places in the music world, because you really don't know which way is up and which, if right is wrong or wrong is right.
And as we've seen now with Kanye West and Drake, the music industry is an awful lot more resilient and tolerant of controversy and pending serious legal charges than ever it was before, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and it's fascinating for me to compare it to the film and TV industry, where one remark can get an actor, like an Oscar-winning actor, shut down for the rest of his life.
Well, the biggest thing of all now is remarks that you've made 10, 20, 30 years ago, and that's the
historical thing. And we talk about the music industry and all the sort of bad boy behavior. Like, if you look back, say, what came out in the sort of Jimmy Savile case and with the Gary Glitter case, that people were always saying that, what happened in the 1960s and 1970s, it was a different time. Yeah. No, that's never true. A middle-aged man taking advantage of a 14-year-old girl was as wrong in 1961 as it was in 1971, as it is in 2021.
So you're saying there's a lot of rockers out there in their 70s quaking in their boots?
I would think so. I would think so in the music industry. But as we've seen, the music industry, things just don't seem to tick. It seems like it marches to a different beat. And it's a warp beat, Dave. It's a frequently immoral one. There's... You can go through any actor's Twitter feed and find something problematic from he tweeted in 2009, and it's game over for that actor. You wouldn't really not want to look at what certain iconic rock stars were doing in the 70s.
All right. On that note, Brian Boyd, thanks a million, Brian, for talking to us on the programme today. Take it easy. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.